So, all right, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're marveling at our salvation. If you've been around any length of time at all, then you already knew I was going to say that, and you probably know what's coming next. Our salvation is not just this one-trick pony, right? It's this awesome thing that the Lord has given us. It is so much greater than our trip to heaven, which is going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be awesome to get to go to heaven. That's going to be great, right? I can't wait to hang out for eternity with you guys there. It's going to be so exciting. It's going to be like the fullness of God. And nothing between us, no sin between you and God, no itchy body, none of that, no worries about money or frustrations about your job or your boss or school or whatever the thing is. Like, it'll be you and a zillion Christians in the fullness of God. That's going to be so good. That's going to be so good. But while we're here on earth, he's given us all this stuff that can go with our salvation. It's unparalleled, the goodness that comes with it. You know, like any job you might get might come with insurance or benefits or you know, whatever they pay your gas or your cell phone or whatever it is. Like, those are great benefits, but it's nothing like what we're dealing with when it comes to Jesus and what he's giving us. Like, you don't have to worry about money, right? Because God's got all the money. You don't have to worry about, like, time, because God's got all the time. You don't have to worry about, you know, what comes next, because God has all the wisdom, right? Or how to parent your kids, because God can teach you how to parent your kids, right? It's this awesome thing that the Lord has given us. Anyway, this series has led us to being in the armor. We've been talking about the armor of God found at the end of Ephesians chapter 6, where it describes a bunch of spiritual weapons. You, no doubt, are in a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle with your own flesh, with the devil, with the people around you, with the evil that exists in our world, with your own fears, with your own doubts, with your own frustrations. You're in a spiritual battle. And so you need spiritual weapons to fight that spiritual battle. That's what you need. So let's read these here found in Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so this is our encouragement here from Paul at the end of Ephesians. Put on every piece of God's armor. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago, how the devil is like a lion, like looking for somebody to attack. Who's he looking for? The guy standing there with sword and shield and body armor on, or the guy standing there looking at his cell phone, scrolling through Facebook and Instagram for hours on a time, right? Who's he looking for? Who's going to be easier to get? The scroller. He's not paying attention. Don't do that. So anyway, this week we're focused on verse 6, or 16, I'm sorry. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, like I've done in other versions of this, other sermons of this, I don't love the way that this translation translates that, so I'm going to read this to you in the New American Standard. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which, this is why we don't use the NASB, because it's hard to read. It doesn't flow like, so anyway. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the difference there is the word extinguish versus stop. And stop, this one says, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows. Now, I feel like the word stop has a connotation to mean like they're not even coming anymore. If you've got your shield of faith up, then they're not coming anymore. But every other translation of the Bible translates that word stop as extinguish, meaning that the flaming arrows are still coming at you, right? They're still coming. So you like this doesn't stop. Like just because you've got your shield up doesn't mean that they're not coming. They're still coming. What it means is when this balling, this flaming ball of fire comes at you, your shield will put it out. And I think that's an important distinction to make, don't you? Because if you feel like my shield of faith will stop the fiery arrows, if you feel like that, then when the fiery arrows come, then you're like, well, am I still getting fiery arrows? The Bible says if I put my faith up, then it won't. So translation is important. Translation is important. You know, like you should be reading the Bible, right? If you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to know any of this. And even a bad translation, which this is not a bad, I'm not saying that. This may be not my favorite way to translate, but this is not a bad translation. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is, like, you need to be reading it regardless, right? Even if you're trying to read King James or whatever, because the Lord will open up your eyes to stuff. You need to be reading it. But if you catch a word like that, then it's good to go to other resources and find out, does it really mean that? And so here's just something I'm just throw out there. The New American Standard Bible is a great Bible if you're looking for a literal, because it's almost a word-to-word translation. That's why it's hard to read, because it's chunky. They take this Greek word and they replace this Greek word with everywhere they can. And so if you need like a better translation, then that's probably the best one there is. There are also tools. This is not a part of my sermon. This is free. There's also tools online like Blue Letter Bible. How many of you guys ever heard of Blue Letter Bible? You need to go there from time to time. BlueLetterBible.com. There's no blue letters in the Bible. I don't know why they named it that. They probably explained that. But anyway, like if you want to look at the Greek or Hebrew word, you can go there and find it. And it will show you, if it's been translated in the Bible 72 times, it'll show you. Of the 72 times, 12 it was translated like this, 16 it was translated like this, and then the rest, which whatever the rest is, I can't do that math, whatever the rest is, we're all translated like this. And so you might be like, well, why did they translate it this way? And it gives you hints and stuff like that as to why words were translated the way they were. Now, that has nothing to do with my sermon, but it is important. Look, this Bible, which we're going to get into, Salvation is next week, and then the Sword of Spirit. Okay, this thing right here. If you're not reading this, then you're not wearing these clothes. If you're not reading this on a regular basis, then you're not wearing the shield of faith. You're not wearing the shoes. You're not wearing the breastplate. You're just not, because you don't know what's there. You got to be reading this thing. And even if you only give it 5 minutes a day, man, that's better than no minutes a day. So please, 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 read your Bible. Read your Bible. Like, you can afford to pause your show for a few minutes and spend time reading the Bible. You can afford to scroll less. And honestly, like, and I know that this is sort of crude or whatever, but honestly, if you put one of these in the bathroom instead of your phone, like, then there's 15 or 20 minutes a day that you're going to read this thing. And I know that's crude, but otherwise, what are you doing in there? You're scrolling. That's what you're doing. That's what we're all doing. Everybody takes their phone in there. So what if you replace that with this? You're like, well, I could read my phone. I could read my Bible on my phone, and you can. But buy yourself a paperback, $12 cheap Bible to keep in the bathroom, and it'll just be the gross one or whatever. That's fine. But please read this thing. If you're not reading it, you're letting so much of our Christian walk go by. Because I can't feed you. I can't do, like, once a week, I can't give you everything you need for a Christian walk. I can't do that. That's not even in my job description. My job description is to help you, to encourage you, to teach you. It is, but you have to feed yourself. I can't do it all for you. I really can't. So please start reading the Bible. Okay, I spent a lot of time on that. All right. Now, we recognize our need for the shield of faith. The shield of faith will put out the fiery arrows that the devil is slinging at us. So how do we get it working? All right. It is a shield of faith. So your shield is made out of faith. That's what it's made out of. It's not wood or metal or whatever. Your shield is made out of your faith. It is a spiritual weapon. You need spiritual faith. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. All right, so let's say you're brand new to this. I want to get my shield of faith up. What's the first step? The first step is hope. Your first step is absolutely hope. Because maybe you've not put your faith into Jesus heavy yet. Maybe you haven't seen him move in your life yet. Maybe you've seen, like, people say that Jesus moves in their lives. And so what you can start with is just hope. That's the very base of getting your faith up. Like, Lord, I hope you can come through for me in this situation. I hope you can give me wisdom. I hope you can help me have peace here. And this, I hope you can help me deal with my wife. I hope you can help me deal with my car. I hope you can help me deal with my job. I'm hoping that you're even real. I'm hoping that you're real. Maybe that's where you are. And if that's where you are, then that's okay. We all had to start somewhere. But hope's a great place to start. Just start with hope. I hope that this is real. Okay, the next way to get your shield of faith up is just to live life and watch him come through for you. Just live life, because bad stuff is coming, all right? Difficult things that you have to deal with is coming. Things you need Jesus for, it's coming. If you're not already in it, like right now, like my old pastor used to say, you're either in a valley, coming out of a valley, or headed into a valley, one of the three. It's like this stuff is coming, right? Hard things in our lives are coming, no matter what. And so as you live through these hard things and the Lord continues to come through for you, then you see how this works. And I've shared this story with you before, but when we moved from Lafayette, Indiana, back to Hopkinsville, Kentucky, back in December of 2016, Shannon and I were dealing in a lot of fear. Like a lot of fear over like housing, where we're going to live, where the boy's going to go to school. I mean, we were moving in December. We literally moved 5 days before Christmas. And Shannon and I were dealing with a lot of fear. And the way the Lord totally came through for us was amazing. We had an awesome house here. We sold it. We closed it on December the 19th. We closed down there on December the 20th. John Townsend and Greg McDaniel drove our junk down to our house, unloaded it, and left. And it was awesome. We just moved from one house to the next, and it was this great. The Lord worked it out beautifully. So then when the time came to move back, we weren't dealing with nearly as much fear as we were before. Right here in my sermon, I'm supposed to make fun of my wife, but she's not here this morning, so anyway. Because we didn't deal in as much fear, and one of us dealt with a lot less fear than the other one did, and I was going to tease her about that, but she's not here, so that was wasted making fun of my wife. I'll see if I can sneak a Gene joke in here somewhere at some point. Because I got to make fun of somebody. Anyway, I think that's in the Bible. You have to do sermons that way. All right. But you wouldn't know that if you don't read it. Okay. All right. So, as you do life and the Lord comes through for you, as he rescues you, as he gives you wisdom, as he gives you joy, as he gives you peace, as you experience his goodness, then you're more prepared. You got more faith. Well, I remember when the Lord did this for me. So, I've got my shield up. I remember when the Lord did this. So, then another way is to read your Bible. Okay? There's a king named Jehoshaphat. Okay, and he was going to get attacked, right? Here, let's read some scriptures. This is 2 Chronicles 20, 11. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you have given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop this? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Jehoshaphat was a godly man. He loved Jesus. Well, he didn't love Jesus because he didn't know Jesus, but he loved God, and he did things right. And because of that, when the armies came against him, then this was sort of his prayer. Like, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. In fact, this was another piece of this. This is Shannon's favorite verse in the Bible, so after making fun of her, I was going to make up for it by reading her favorite verse in the Bible. Verse 12, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us, but we do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. That was his prayer. That was Jehoshaphat's prayer, and God honored it, because look at what happens here. Verse 16, tomorrow march out. This is God's response. Tomorrow march out against them, for you will find them coming up through ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So when you read, like, when you're worried about your faith, and you're worried about something that's going on, you need that shield of faith up, and then you read a story like this where the Lord totally comes through for them, it bolsters your faith. It makes that shield bigger. You believe this story about what God did. And then in verse 22, look at this. At the very moment they began to sing, because God told them to sing worship songs, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, they saw there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. And let's read one more. And King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry, which was, there was so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect it all. It took 3 days. Now, if you're struggling with your faith, and you're worried about, like, is the Lord going to come through for me? And you're just reading along in the Bible, you know, you're just reading along, whatever, and then you come across a story, you're like that, and you're like, wow, the Lord totally came through. He totally came through. How awesome is that? Then that bolsters your faith, and you see that God did a thing. And so now maybe you could be the one picking up, picking up stuff for 3 days, the plunder. Maybe you could be the one picking up spiritual plunder for 3 days. Maybe that could be you, and you believe this story, and you know that God is good. And so he does this thing for you, and he comes through, and then your shield gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'll be honest, like, faith is easier for some people than it is for others, right? Just like joy is easier for some people, just like whatever, peace is easier for some people. Like, faith has always been really easy for me. I've never really struggled with my faith in that sense. Like, I always just sort of expected God to come through. I never, you know, some people really need to understand, like, they need to be shown some of the stuff from the past. Like now apparently they found Noah's Ark somewhere in the mountains in, like, Turkey or something like that. You know, some people need to see that to really bolster their faith enough to really believe in Jesus. And if that's you, that's fine. That's okay. But you're, like, if you struggle with that shield of faith, then you're going to have to do more of this to keep it up. You need to live, you need to keep putting your trust in him. Keep watching him come through to get this shield of faith up. For me, like, salvation was pretty easy. When I was 10 years old, I felt like God was calling me. Let's go. Let's do it. And I did. And of course, I didn't really live for God for like 8 years. But once I turned 18 and started kind of living for the Lord, it was obvious to me who God was in my life. It was obvious that he loved me, that he cared about me. It was obvious to me. But it's not obvious to everybody. So if you're one of those, then that's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be like Mr. Faith or whatever. You can be... you can do, but you have to put in the work. If you want your shield of faith up, then you got to put in the work. You have to do that. You have to read these words. You have to live this life. You have to watch the Lord come through. You have to start with hope, right? And that's okay, but it's worth the work, because faith is a great shield. It's a great shield. Once you've got it working, it will protect you from a lot of your fears and worries, because those are the darts that are coming. Those are the arrows that are coming. The flaming darts that are coming are primarily like doubt in who God is and fear that he won't come through for you. That's primarily what it is. So if you're like, if you're not peaceful, if you're all anxious and bound up, right, then this shield of faith is a great thing for you. You need it bad, okay? Let's read some... let's read some scripture here. Let me go back just one thing. Like, what's happening here when you're struggling with your fear and worry is this is the devil. This is the devil's fiery darts. The Lord is not enough. That's the dart that's coming. The Lord is not enough. The Lord is not enough to come for you financially. The Lord is not enough for you physically. The Lord is not enough for you. That's the fiery dart that's coming at you, is the Lord is not enough. You need more than him. Like, sure, oh, the Lord is good or whatever, but you also need a bank account that's this big to protect you. Or sure, the Lord is good, but you also need a couple of extra cars just in case. The Lord is good, but you need more. You need more stuff. Like, you need to protect yourself, right? That's the fiery dart that's coming. Is you have to protect you because the Lord is not enough. That's what all of the darts are. The Lord is not enough. The Lord is not enough. The Lord is not enough. But your shield of faith says the Lord is enough. Yes. That's what your shield of faith is for. Okay. So now let's just imagine that things for you are financially bleak. Okay. The Lord is enough. Let's look at this. We're going to read some scriptures here in Matthew chapter 6, starting at 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't they far more valuable to him than, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So if things for you are financially bleak, then first off, you need to be reading the scripture probably every day. But also, your shield of faith says, the Lord is enough. The Lord will protect me. That's your shield of faith. So when the bills come in and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this, then it starts with hope, right? You bolster your faith with some hope. You bolster your faith by reading some Bible stories about how God comes through for you, and then the Lord, and then you seek first the kingdom of God. Like, this is one of the things, I don't have this scripture prepared, but in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, and now, dear brothers and sisters, think one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So when your brain has got like financial problems, financial problems, financial problems, financial problems, change your brain. Don't think about that stuff. Trust that the Lord is going to come through. Is your financial problems honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable? Are they excellent and worthy of praise? No. So that's not going to help your shield of faith. What is going to help your shield of faith is seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. And these things that we're talking about are the stuff you eat, the stuff you wear. If this was written in 2025, then it would also, I'm sure it would include a car, because a car is part of what you need in America today. You can't get places without a car. We're too far apart. Like, if I had to walk to church this morning, it'd be well better than an hour. I mean, it's an 8-mile walk. I don't know. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. Anyway, the point is, so read the scripture and then sit back and relax. Turn your brain off of your financial problems and turn your brain onto the God who solves financial problems. That's what you got to do. Now, sit back and relax doesn't mean do nothing. It doesn't mean quit your job. It doesn't mean that. Like, you might have to get out and side hustle. You might have to. That might be part of what, but all of that comes with God giving you wisdom. All of that comes with, God instructing you on how to do. Like, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then he's going to tell you, you need to get out and side hustle. And you may have to put in some extra work. It may take that. And that's okay. That's part of it. But the Lord is the one that comes through. The Lord is the one that makes the money, not you. Because you can't do anything by yourself. You can't make side hustle money by yourself. You're going to do it with no arms. I mean, God is the one who gave you these arms, right? You can't twist balloons with no arms, can you? The Lord is the one that comes through. Everything you've got is His. Everything you got is His. Okay, now, what if your body is sick? And I know we're not a charismatic church, so take it easy or whatever, but this is James chapter 5. Look at this. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church and come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Look at this. This is a Bible command. This is not something that expired, right? This is still something that, and again, we're not like this charismatic church, but that doesn't mean that this scripture is not true. Like, if you need healing, then let's pray. Like you're not going to get it if we don't ask. That's for certain. So if you've got stuff, like, then let's pray over it. And then sit back and relax and trust that the Lord is going to take care of us. And is God going to heal everybody? No, He's not. But will He heal some? Absolutely. Does He want to? Yeah, I think so. God cares about your physical body. And so if you need, if you got stuff, you got like hurts and pains and aches and whatever you got, then let's pray over that stuff. Because you're never going to get it if we don't ask. Finally, if you need wisdom, right? If you need wisdom on how to just, like, you, like, Lord, I don't know how to do what I'm doing. And I'm afraid that you're not enough, right? Because that's the arrow that comes at you. You're not enough, Lord. I don't know how to raise these kids. Like, raising kids is hard. I don't know if you guys have tried to do that, but it's hard. I'm at 13 and 9 now, and it's hard. And I am constantly, even in the middle of some sort of argument with my 13-year-old who knows literally everything in the world, when I'm in some sort of argument, I'm like praying in the back of my head, Lord, give me wisdom as to what to say, like to this child who knows everything. I shouldn't throw him. He's a preacher's kid. He's just going to have to get used to that. Anyway, he's not here either, so he didn't hear me making fun of him. And even if he was here, he wouldn't have been paying attention. Anyway, if you need, like, okay, Lord, I don't know what to go next. I don't know where, like, here comes the fiery arrows. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what the next thing in life is. Do I go to college? Do I switch jobs? Do I switch cars? My car's broken down. Do I what's next for me, Lord? And you don't, like, the Lord is not enough. I've got to like ask people what they think and all this. No, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, because He is enough. James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you, and He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for the loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Now, you need wisdom on what's next. What do I do? How do I handle this problem? What do I do next? What's coming up? Like, how do I fix this problem? And you need wisdom, then ask God for it. He wants to give it to you. Now, does that mean that every time I ask for wisdom from God that I feel this sort of lightning bolt of wisdom that just busts through me? No, I wish it was that way. I really do. But most of the time, when I ask the Lord for wisdom, like, God, I don't know how to handle this next problem. I don't know what to do now. Almost every single time, what I do is I pray about this, and I quiet my soul. I pray about, God, I need wisdom here. Will you give me wisdom here? And if there's time, then I'll go and seek out godly people. I'm not looking for my co-workers that are not godly. Of course, Pastor Randy's my only co-worker, so I would ask him, but that's neither here nor there. I just was, never mind. Okay. I was just making sure he didn't understand. I wasn't trying to make fun of you. That was the point. I'm not going. You don't go to your coworkers asking the dumb ones how to do stuff, right? You don't ask somebody broke how to manage your money because they're broke. They don't know how to manage money. Okay. So the point is, when you need wisdom, if there's time, then go and find people who are wiser than you and ask them. If you can do that, but if not, if there's not time, then just trust that the Lord speaks to you and do what you feel is best. There's a scripture in the Acts where it clearly says that the apostles, they did what seemed right. They didn't have a lightning bolt of wisdom from God. They did what seemed best. And so do that. Do that. After you spend some time and you quiet your soul before the Lord and you say, Lord, I need wisdom here, then just trust that he's given to you and do what seems best. And sometimes that's what you got. But the Lord is enough. And keep your shield of faith up. Lord, I know you are enough. I know you are enough to cover this for me. You are enough. That should be our mantra anytime that something like this comes at us, some sort of doubt or fear or whatever. Lord, you're enough. You are enough. You can handle this situation. Because there's nothing new in this room. There's no problem you're facing that's new. The Lord has been through it all. Okay. Let's get our shields of faith up. Right? Let's ignore the devil. Let's let our faith extinguish these flaming arrows. And let's trust that the Lord is going to take care of us. And if you need some prayer over that, there are people in this room that will pray for you, myself included. I'd be happy to do that. Let's pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are good and holy and wonderful and awesome. And every good word we have in our dictionary, you're all of it, Father. God, I worship you that you give us the opportunity just to love you. You let us love you. You let us worship you. You let us surrender ourselves to you. I pray for us this week that as the fiery darts come, the Lord, that you bolster our shields of faith, Father, that you help us to trust that you have got it covered. God, and where we're lacking, you make up the difference. When we lack faith, God, you come through despite our lack of faith. You cover the difference, Lord. I know you want to. You want to cover for us, Lord. God, you are awesome and glorious and wonderful. We love you. I praise you for Elston Family Church. God, I pray that we leave here and go and make disciples in your name. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.